Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Greg's wife, so you know what I have to contend with all of the time. No, I mean, I love serving under our church, and as I was thinking about talking about tithing this morning, it's this first Sunday where we talk about tithing and put that blessing over everyone. I had thought back, you know, about all of the time that we've been here, and God talking to me about, you know, this isn't going to be about you this morning. This is about something that he wanted to share with us because of where we're at in times. And I know you guys are all thinking about where we've been last week, coming out of a holy week, and you know what the Father did for us and bringing Christ and dying on the cross and then us having the body and the blood of Christ. And he told me, I want you to go look up Melchizedek. So I went back to the beginning. So we're all the way back in Genesis 14. I'm going to give you a little bit of background and then I'm going to read you the scripture. So at that time, Abraham, he is at Canaan. He's been delivered there. Him and Lot have separated their stuff. That's his nephew. And we are, if I can give you a place in time, we're about 500 years before Moses comes on the scene. So it's very hard to understand the timing, but we're 500 years before they start putting together Moses, the Levitical priests, all those things. So we often think tithing comes from the Levitical priests and taking care of it there. But if we go back and we read through, I'm in Genesis 14, and I'm going to encourage you after today's service, go back to 13, read through 15, and you'll start understanding the depths of what he's trying to tell us here. So if I go back and I start here, he has returned with the defeat and they've warred for 13 years prior. Abraham stayed out of it. It's not his business. It's kind of like what's happening with us in the world in some of these wars that are going on. But then after they take his nephew Lot, it's before he's been, God's told him that he is going to be the father of nations, but he hasn't talked to him yet about his children or Sarah yet. That hasn't happened yet. So he's thinking, man, I got to go get Lot. This is going to be my inheritance. I got to go get him. And so he goes and gets him. He plunders. He takes everything that king had. And again, they'd warred for 13 years. So he had a lot in possession whenever he gets Lot, and he picks him up. And so I'm going to pick this up in Genesis 14:18. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem today, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. He was the priest of God and the Most High. So what it's telling us, he was the priest, the Most High, and he was the king at that time. Keep in mind, we're still way before we hear anything about Moses and how they set up the law. And he blessed him and said, blessed favor will blessings be made blissful. This a lot in the more in than it typically says in a scripture. Abraham by God's Most High, the possessor and the maker of the heavens and earth. And that's so cool that we just read that. Miracle maker, miracle worker. And then he says, and blessed praise and glorified be God's Most High, who gives your foes into your hands. And then he gave to Abraham, gave him a tenth of all he had taken. So right here, Abraham's saying, thank you, Father, for delivering us and delivering everything that you have in front of us. And he gave at that time. And when we hear about the fathers of faith, he's stepping into, I'm saved by faith, or I'm saved by grace through faith for the works that I can do for God. Not for what I'm doing, but for what I can do for God at that point. So he stepped into that, but go back and think about what just happened. He bought the king, Melchizedek, brought him out the body and blood of Christ. He brought it to them and blessed them. And so then it gave Abraham, when Solomon's king approaches him, he wants everything back. And Abraham says, you can have everything but from my kinsmen. He had it. Everyone came before you. I want my kinsmen back, meaning Lot and everything that Lot had. And he gave it all back to Solomon. So when we relate that to where we're at in the world today, He gave back everything because he didn't want what the world had. And if you go further on into chapter 19, that's whenever God comes and destroys Sodom. So Sodom's king wanted it all back out of greed and what the world had and what he could do with it. Then it becomes evil and he takes it. So as we go forward and we think about why the tithe, why is he giving him that 10%, that tithe? This is before we have any laws that come after that to take care of it. It's because he needed to usher in and take care of those that give us the word of God. He's saying, I have to start here so that when we get there 500 years down the road, it's not lost. I need to set this up so when we get Levitical priests into that place, that people will support us and take us into that next place. So this morning, as we pray over those things that we tithe, sometimes the truth cuts deep and it hurts because we're called out into what God has for us. But as we step in to this next season that God has for us, understand that it's not, I remember telling Darren something and when we took our, and maybe you remember this, Darren, but when Greg and I stepped in to accepting being pastors and stepped into what does that mean? I remember thinking, God spoke to my spirit and he said, Darren's not your goody-getter. You've got to go out and deliver what God has for you. And you and Greg have to speak the truths that I've given you, not just from Darren. And that's what I love about our church is sometimes it cuts deep, but that's really when I dove into, you know, tax season, right? Oh, I got to give my taxes, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, give to God what's God's. And so really stepping into that and him wanting us to pray over where our dollars go and where we're headed out in the future. You know, we began with the father of the faith. And without his obedience, I don't know where we would be because we always talk about his obedience with Isaac as a sacrifice. But Christ showed up to him way before Isaac was even born and trying to set us up for success in our lives. So I'm going to go to the Father. Father God, I just thank you that you continue to give us revelation when we're willing to step into what it is that you've got for us, Father God. That as we talk about you being a miracle worker and not knowing what's out in front of us, Abraham had no clue what was out in front of him. He was childless. He was just listening to you, Father, and what you had given to him at that moment, and he stepped out in obedience. And so when we step out in obedience, Father God, you tell us that our storehouses will be full and it will be blessing overflowing. So I just thank you, Father God, that you've put that on our hearts and each an individual who's already tithed, who's stepping into their tithe and what it is that you can do for us. Father God, when we're obedient and we know the blood covering that you've done already for us. And we just thank you. We thank you for this season. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to turn it over to Lynette. Thank you.
Man. I'm telling you guys, Greg and Tracy, if you've never just chit-chatted with them, Tracy, you can tell from that, Tracy is a deep well, right? Yes. And if you want to just sit and chew on some meat, go sit by Tracy. She's amazing. Tracy, thank you so much for that. Well, y'all all blew in today. Yay. Yes. You know what? I have to say that Rhett prayed over us this morning before we got started, and we all gathered together back here in the morning, and Rhett thanked God for the wind when he was praying this morning. And I was like, okay, you have a way more thankful attitude than I do. How many of you know that the wind makes your hair get stuck in your lip gloss? And I hate that. Can I get an amen on that? Yes. Carly's like, yeah. Anyway, Rhett said something that I thought, wow, that's really good, is that it was blowing all of the old out, blowing the dust off and bringing in the new, that God is blowing in the new. So can we just all, like, let's just all agree on that. When he said that this morning, I thought, man, that's so good. That's a good word. Yeah. Yes. All right. So I've got thoughts to share with you. Anybody ever watch Saturday Night Live? It's okay. It's okay. You can say that you did. There was these ones that were my favorite. Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy, I think it was. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, my favorite one was that if they ever decide to make dogs the leaders, I hope they don't decide strictly on size, because I think there's probably some chihuahuas out there with some pretty darn good ideas. That was the deep thought. So anyway, so I'm going to share deep thoughts with Lynette today. So you guys are in for a treat. So anyhow, all right. How many of you have ever been fortunate enough to teach a child to drive? Raise your hand. And you're still here to tell about it and have a hand to raise. Yes? Okay. That is an experience. That right there will put you in the fast lane of prayer. If you want to develop your prayer life and you want to grow in your faith, get in the car with a child who just got their permit, and it's up to you to help them fulfill their hours that are required for them to get a driver's license. In our house, we let Rhett, I'm just confessing for all of the world, that we let Rhett drive up and down the dirt road before he ever had his permit. We live on a dirt road, and he got lots of experience driving up and down the road, just driving around on the property and things like that. And it never occurred to me. Here is a tip for those homes of more than one child. The older child is the one that gets that time driving. The younger child, when she got in the car the first time, when she got her permit, because Rhett was the one that would drive because he was older. When Riata got in the car for the first time with her permit, we're sitting in front of the house and we're facing the house forward, and she gets in and she scoots the seat up and she's holding onto the steering wheel, and she looks down and she goes, okay, now which one is the go pedal and which one is the stop pedal? I literally just said, just get out right now. Get out. Like, oh my gosh. Because all I had visions of was the car going right through the front of the house and us sitting in the living room and me telling her, that's the stop pedal. Okay. That was my, learning. So if you have a younger child, be sure that they have the opportunity to get a little bit in as well. But that's where my kids would say to me, I can drive. I can drive. How many of you with kids have heard that? I can drive. To the point where, I didn't even ask Red if I could tell this, but to the point to where my son said to me, I can drift. I know how to drift. I was like, you don't know squat diddly about drifting. He goes, yeah, I do too. I do it on my video game all the time. Do you hear in here? That was what was in my head when you said that to me. They don't know your skills, he says. So we did come up here to the parking lot and we let him drive. And as it turns out, he can drift. But that's the thing, is the kids, how many of you experienced when your student driver, when your newly holding permit child gets in the car, they say, I can drive. Anybody else? Yes? That, like, we should start a ministry here for people who want to grow in their prayer life and faith. Like, we have a whole section of student drivers here that you can take for a drive. That, check us out. We're going to be maybe starting that as a ministry sometime. Anyway, that I can drive is very similar likeness to oftentimes when people say, I'm a Christian. Is there is a difference between, oh, how can I say this? Stay connected with me here for a minute. There's a difference between saying I am a Christian and actually being a functioning member of the body of Christ. Two totally different experiences. This is kind of funny because, again, deep thoughts with Lynette. if in my world, if I am introduced to somebody in a different environment or they've never met me before and somebody introduces me to them, and they tell them, she's a pastor of a church, immediately, I would say probably at least 80% of the time, the first thing that comes out of that person's mouth is, I go to church. I'm not taking a survey. I didn't ask. But here's literally deep thoughts with Lynette. This is what goes through my mind is what, when a person is introduced and they're introduced and say, I'm a proctologist, like what is the first thing that people hear? What do they say to them? I'm just saying, these are the things that go through my mind, okay? But I was recently at a function, and there was just a really good, it was a pretty deep mix of people, and I was introduced to a gentleman who was so pie-out that his eyes could not even focus straight, and I was introduced, said, this is Pastor Lynette, she's the pastor of our church, and he, I mean, homie could not even stand up straight. He was like this, and he says to me, I go to church. It's like, I didn't ask, but somehow people feel the need to say that. And what I think, when people feel the need to say that, I immediately know they can identify as being a Christian, but they're missing out on the experience of being a member of the body of Christ. When they say that to me, it's just a, it's not a judgment. And when I say this, everybody tap your neighbor right now and say, listen to what she's about to say. When I say this, I am not at all sharing a judgment or a call on that person's salvation or the condition of their heart. That is not what I'm talking about. It is not my place, never my place, to judge another person's salvation or the condition of their heart. That is not my job. That is not my position. That is not anybody's ministry. That is God's business. That is not mine. But what I am pointing out and what I want to talk about today is the difference of experience. There's a difference of experience of driving down a dirt road with your child when they're learning to drive, and that time that you actually get on the interstate for the very first time and other people are now involved at a very high speed. It's the same way as the difference of saying, I go to church. How many times have you guys heard this? Oh, I talk to the big man upstairs. I pray. I go to church. It's a difference of experience. So that's what I'm talking about today. So again, not a judgment on anyone. I'm going to read out of Ephesians. I'm going to read mostly out of the Passion Translation today, just because, if you wonder why I like the Passion Translation so much, the Passion Translation takes the Hebrew from the Old Testament and the Greek from the New Testament. And in the translation, it also, gives you the feeling and communicates the emotion that is held within the language, within the Greek and the Hebrew language, which oftentimes is missed in just a straight across translation. So if you go and you dig into the Hebrew and the Greek, when you start digging into, when you read the King James and the New King James and the New Living Translation, when you start digging in and looking up those words, you can see that both in the Hebrew and the Greek, there are emotions that are tied to those words, that when it's just the word, like if I just say the word angry, there's a whole emotion and there's a whole picture. There's a whole story that goes along with that word angry. But unless you get the emotion of that, you don't know that. So that's why I like the Passion Translation so much, is because it also gives us the emotion that is being communicated within the text of the scripture. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, I'm going to read a little bit here. So stay connected with me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says this: I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us. Say, that's me. His holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he alone is the leader and source. In the King James and New King James, it says the head of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. Verse 23, and now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who works, being filled by it. This is for me, when I am like, I don't know where to read, or I'm just needing some inspiration, I'm just needing some filling from God, I go to Ephesians. Ephesians is a go-to book for me. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are so rich with the God's heart for the church, for God's desire and the way that he desired what he wanted the church to look like, what he wanted his body on earth to look like. So when we read this and we're told here that he wants us to experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that means that it's a different experience than driving in an empty parking lot. There is an experience to be had that is not the same as driving in a parking lot. There's an experience to be had when you actually get out on the road and start engaging with other people. There's an experience to be had when you don't just take... Okay, let me say it like this. There is a place of praying a prayer and asking God to be the Lord of your life, but then there's also a next step. That's not the end. That's not the goal. That is just the beginning. That is just starting point. That's the basis. That's the very, that should be the absolute lowest point of your Christianity, but it is the highest point of your humanity. That is just the beginning for you. Hear me when I say that. Your prayer to God to say, Jesus, I give you my life, that is the highest of your humanity, but should be just the basis and the foundation level of your Christianity. Our walk with him, our life with him begins to explode from there. But so often people stop right there. They settle for that. They think that this is it. And what happens is they've prayed a prayer. Maybe they read their Bible every now and again. Maybe they come to church sporadically, or there may be people in here right now that you've been coming to church and you diligently, obediently, and faithfully attend church every week, but yet there's still a part of your walk with God where you're still just driving in circles in an empty parking lot. When he says that Jesus is now seated in the heavenly places above all power and all principality, every name that is named, every authority, then if you go on, I'm just going to reference it, but you should write this down because this is a scripture that you should have. It is your go-to. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, that he raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. My earthly brain, my intellect, my mind cannot understand that. Amen. But my spirit explodes on the inside of me when I hear that. Amen. My spirit takes that because my spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, hears that and recognizes that my connection, my source is not the government here. My source is not any name that is named here, a disease, a diagnosis, a label that is put on you. I am not held to any authority on this earth because I am one and seated in the heavenly places as one with Christ Jesus. And where is Christ Jesus? He is seated next to the Father in the heavenly realm. And I am seated with him because he is the head and I am the body, and it is my choice, it is your choice what you choose to connect with. What you choose to receive your life source from. Are you receiving your life source from CNN? Are you receiving your life source from CNN, or are you receiving your life source from the one who is seated in the heavenly places? We decide what our head is. There's a lot of things that you have no control over. You have no control over global things that are happening. And you can watch it unfolding before our eyes, and it can begin to create intense and immense anxiety on the inside of you. If that is my head, and that is what I am receiving my life from, that is what will flow through me, and that is what will affect my body. If I choose that my head is Jesus Christ, who has been established as the authority over every name that is named, that is my head, that is my life source, that is what directs me, that is what leads me, and that is my hope. That's where I'm going. Wherever the head goes, if I'm attached to him, if I choose to be connected with him, wherever the head goes, the body goes. That being said, really fast, I just want to say this. As so goes the head, so goes the body. If this is your home church and you consider Darren and I your spiritual leaders, I want to declare to you that there are seeds that have been being planted for years that we are seeing a harvest on. Prayers that we have been praying for years that we are beginning to see breakthrough and seeing a harvest on. And they are miracles that are taking place in our life personally, in our physical health, things that are taking place around us. So goes the head, so goes the body. I release that declaration to you because if it is happening for us and we are your spiritual leaders, we are your spiritual mom and dad, it's going to begin happening for you. And I declare that and I release that in the name of Jesus Christ. It's our choice. See, it's like when our daughter graduated for her senior gift or her graduation gift, Darren came up with the idea. It was after COVID had shut everything down, and we just needed to get out. So Darren suggested that Riata and I take a road trip. And while we were all sent to our corners at home, that gave us something to do. It gave her something to look forward to. So we started planning a road trip. And she and I took my, I have a little white Volkswagen Bug, which you can drive like all over the place for a nickel in a Bug, right? So anyway, we took my Bug and we drove and plotted out a trip, and we drove from here, our furthest destination. We drove to, made lots of stops along the way, but we went all the way out to Charleston, South Carolina, went down to Savannah, and then made our way home up through Alabama to go and see Ray Hughes. If some of you remember Ray Hughes coming here, he's an absolutely wonderful man of God. So we went and saw Ray Hughes on our way home coming through Alabama. We had an amazing time. That was a great road trip. We got to see places. We got to, we basically ate our way all the way through. It was amazing food. It was beautiful scenery. I've never been to the Smoky Mountains before. I got to see things. I got to meet people that, like, cultures that we just don't have here, that was so rich and so deep in history that it was such an honor to get to learn about those cultures. But what would it have been? I mean, I could have just taken her in the parking lot and drove around in circles, and that could have been our road trip. would have been a lot cheaper, I'll tell you that. Totally different experience. It's the same with you and I when we simply... make the words with our mouth that I'm a Christian or I go to church, but are not connected to the head as our life source. One is driving in circles in a parking lot and the other one is traveling cross country and taking in everything and experience everything that is available to you. Two totally different experiences. It's pretty drastic. So the difference in coming to church and being the church, there are two things that happen that I want to tell you. There's lots, but I'm just going to, because I'm talking this morning, I'm picking two. So deep thoughts with Lynette. Here's the two deep thoughts you get. Ephesians 4:16 says this, "For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all." What are the gifts for? For the growth of all. What are the gifts for? For the growth of all. And these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body. We are built up and made perfect in love. The gifts are given for the growth of all. For the body. That when we are constantly connected and committed to being a contributor in the body, Darren did a message here a while back of, are you a contributor or are you a consumer? When we are committed to being a contributor, constantly connected to the body, that is what makes room for you to begin to discover the divine gifts that are on the inside of you. So many people sitting in here right now are asking, do I have gifts? If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, which the Word says that there are gifts of the Spirit. You don't get the Holy Spirit apart from the gifts of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the gifts of the Spirit. And if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. And without exception, I don't care what your past is. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much education you have or don't have. You have the measure of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that God gave to you without withholding. He does not hold the Holy Spirit from anyone. If you ask, he gives it to you because the Bible says that he is a good father and he does not withhold gifts from his children. But if you want to experience the gifts, you have to become a constantly connected member of the body because those gifts are not for us to brag about ourselves. The gifts are not about you. The gifts are about the body. The gifts are to distribute and to give to the body because I need the gifts that are on the inside of you. You need the gift that is on the inside of the person sitting next to you. And when you are connected to the head, Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ flows through the body. Exactly what Greg was talking about a couple of weeks ago is that he is the vine and we are the branches. And when we are connected in, that life flow from the head flows through us, and the same life and the miracles and wonders that Jesus Christ performed when he walked on the earth, it is said that we would do greater works than these. Do I mentally, intellectually understand that? I do not, but my spirit leaps when I hear that. Do you have gifts on the inside of you? Yes, you do. Well, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to use them. I don't, you know, I'm not trained. Neither was Peter. I can almost promise you, you can't mess it up as bad as Peter did. Peter set a pretty high bar. And we love him for that. Peter was also the one that got to experience walking on water with his Christ. You will not get to experience the invitation to walk on water until you're connected with Jesus. You don't even get the invitation. It doesn't matter if you step out and you sink a little bit. Jesus is right there. He will not let you fail. God will never set you up to fail. If you are a connected contributor, God has much success for you. Always, always. Thank you, Lord. Church was never meant to be a thing that we do. Church was not meant to be where you go. It's not meant to be, well, we have to put in our time before we go to brunch. Church is not what we do. Church, in God's eyes, is who we are. Amen. It's our function. It's not, it's not to be able to tell somebody, I go to church, I'm a Christian. Honestly, if you really are connected, you don't have to tell them that. They'll see it on you. When you're in a room and somebody walks by you and says, there's something different about you, I know what it is, but I just can't put my finger on it. Then you know you're being the church. You shouldn't have to tell somebody that you go to church. They should be able to tell. So number one is that growth and perfecting in love only is experienced by those who are contributing and connected. The scripture that says to us that through the whole body that we are built up and made perfect in love. You cannot get to the place that God has destined you to get to without other people. All of these religions that their highest form is that you go live with goats in the mountains and never talk to anyone and meditate all day. And eat dirt. Sign me up. Sign me up, he says. You cannot achieve the highest level of spirituality without being connected to other people. Because how many of you are perfect drivers on the road when nobody else is driving? We all are. Like, if everybody would have gone to the same driving school I went to, we would all get along a lot better. You don't know who you really are without other people. Because other people will point out to you, dude, you got a big old booger on your face. If you don't have other people around you, nobody tells you that. Dude, you got an issue with anger. You got a big old thing on your face. If you're never around anybody else, you never realize that. You just sit in your cave in the mountains eating dirt thinking, I got this all figured out. Pretty low level of spirituality. You will never achieve perfection in love without other people. That's number one. That, a couple of weeks ago, Darren had me say this, and I feel it so deeply and so strongly that I feel like I need to say it again, is for all of us that were here, gathered together when Robbie Dawkins was here, and I know that there were a multitude of people that shared with me, I know that God wants me to do something, I just don't know what it is. Or they shared with me, God released to me a gifting. God showed me what he's called me to do. God has put a boldness on the inside of me. And here's what I implore you. If you have not moved, if you have not put into action what God downloaded to you when Robbie was here, your delayed obedience is disobedience in the eyes of God. I don't know how else to say that. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When our kids were little, when I asked them to do something, it was, I'm asking you to do that and I need you to do it right now. It wasn't, I'm asking you to do that and you do it when it's convenient for you or when you feel like it or when your schedule works out, when you've got everything lined out with the kids. That was not it. It is imperative. Go back and remember what it was that God spoke to you when we were gathered here together as a body in that moment when we received. Go back and look. I know a lot of you journal. A lot of you took notes. Go back and read over those and stir up what is on the inside of you, what God imparted to you, what he called you to, what he prompted you to then. It's important. I can't explain to you how important that is. I just know it's imperative. And for some of you, it is extremely imperative. There is a holdup and a blockage for you until you put into motion what God asked you to do. Some people say, well, it's like I stopped, like God stopped talking to me. God is still talking. It's that he's saying, until you do the last thing I told you to do, there's no reason for me to continue talking because you're going to be accountable for everything that I tell you after that. And I love you enough that I'm not going to give you any more until you're obedient and you do what I told you to do here, because I don't want you to be accountable for all of this because you aren't doing this yet. You're already accountable for sitting on your butt on this. You're going to be accountable for all of this if you don't put that into action. That's his grace and his mercy. When we're connected and we contribute, this is not a sales pitch for our ministry teams. This is because I love you. And I know this from my own experience. I remember trying to get involved, trying to serve, like knowing that there was something, but I didn't know what it was, knowing that God, like, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to do something, but I don't really know what the do is. I don't even know how to get started. And I remember going to church, and I went and sat down with somebody to tell them, I don't even know what to do. I just want to do something for God. And being told, well, you have to take this class and you have to do this and you have to be here for this period of time. And then we need you to, do this, this and this. And I'm like, I didn't know that just wanting to do something for God, that there were so many requirements on that. That's why at our church, if you want to be a contributor, we got a spot for you. Amen. If we don't, we'll make one. Like, we'll make it up. Because if you know that you're supposed to do something with God, that's our whole purpose of being here, is I know what God did through our life by just saying, God, whatever it is, I'll do it. Not having any clue. I do just remember telling God, please, God, don't make me go to Africa and eat a snail. Like, that was my one thing. I really don't want to do that. And you know what? God's never made me eat a snail. I've never even had to eat dirt either. So close, but I am so thankful. And that's the reason our church exists, is because we know what it is to be in that place of, God, I don't feel qualified. I don't have a bunch of initials after my name for going to school for this and this and this. Darren always teases and says that we got our degree from Apostle Paul's School of Hard Knocks. It's a good education, let me tell you. The second thing that living in connection and contribution does is it puts you in position to live in proportion with your head. You guys know what a bobblehead doll is? Yeah? The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, is not supposed to look like a bobblehead doll connected to its head, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not supposed to be this big, huge head. We're supposed to be a body that is proportionate to our head, meaning that the life and the power and the authority, the love that is flowing from the head, Jesus Christ, should fill us up to where we live and look and move and live and breathe in proportion to our head. The authority that the head has, the body has. The power that the head has, the body has. When we live and move and breathe in him, when that is our proportion. So here's what put me in awe. I have have always, so the scripture that says when Jesus prayed, he said to pray like this. And then in part of the prayer, it said that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. I've always taken that when we are to be, when the scripture says that we will be God's billboard, that we will be God on display, I've always applied that to an earthly realm. I've always just applied that to, you know, I'm supposed to live my life here on earth, that everybody here on earth would be able to see God, experience God through me. And everybody that I come in contact with, that I want them just to experience God. But this puts me in awe. Ephesians 3, verse 9 says this: "My passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through the church." Say what? You and I are to be living at such a dynamic level, in such a connection with the head, Jesus Christ, that it causes the angelic realm, who has been encircling the throne of God for all of eternity, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," that you and I, as the body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia, would be living to such a level that we would cause the angels, the angelic realm, to look at us and study us in awe. That's what the scripture says. It is further backed up in 1 Peter. For sake of time, I'm not going there. Look it up. Your life and my life is to be such a demonstration of God that it is grounds for study and awe to the angels. On earth as it is in heaven, to such a degree that heaven stands in awe. So when we hear all of this stuff about how bad things are getting, when you hear prophecies about how things are going to get worse and worse and things are going to get darker and darker, I don't know about all of that, but what I can tell you is that my Bible says to me that my life will be such, as the body of Christ, as the ecclesia, as the church of God, that I will be one who puts the angelic realm into awe because of the demonstration of grace and mercy and power that flows through me. Y'all, your intellect might not get that, but your spirit should be exploding on the inside of you right now. And I'm totally okay with that. But your spirit needs to take that in. That your life is to be such that angels study God through you. Do I think that we're totally there yet? No. Have we tapped into it? Yes. That means that there's a whole lot gooder that we haven't experienced yet. That means that there's a whole lot left for you and I to do, that the greatest is yet to come. That means that we're not going to spend our time driving in circles in the parking lot. That means that you and I are traveling cross country, that we're going to see stuff that we've never seen before. We're going to taste, we're going to experience, we're going to encounter things that we've never before experienced. But in order to do that, we have to be connected and contributing. We have to make a choice that our connection is with our head, Jesus Christ, seated as one with him in the heavenly realm. Now, that That said, I'm going to skip down to the very end of this passage. In Colossians chapter 3, if you want to look up that other scripture, it's 1 Peter 1:12. Go look it up, talking about the angels studying you. Let me say this. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Brad, I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping around. You don't have to put this up, but this is where I'm going. It says this, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. The New King James says that love is the bond of perfection. I think of that as like your seatbelt that holds you in position. Love is the seatbelt. If you are seated in the heavenly places as one in Christ Jesus, love is your seatbelt that keeps you in that seat. That's just Lynette Lamb. That's how I think of that. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. So this is where I wanted to get. This is, okay. Am I reading this? I sensed that there are things that are happening in people's physical bodies that are a result of being detached from love. And I feel like that we are supposed to take a moment and give you the opportunity to pray. And here's what I specifically got was, here's what the Lord put in my heart, is that rebellion against love opens the door to rebellion in our physical body. And your physical body rebels against itself. And the specific thing that came to me was autoimmune disease, which I didn't know what that was, so I had to look it up. And it says a healthy immune system defends the body against disease and infection. But if the immune system malfunctions, it mistakenly attacks healthy cells, tissues, and organs. See, for a while, the church has been known as a place that attacks and devours its own. And I remember at one time not even wanting to call ourselves a church. Like I was like, God, what should we ask ourselves? Are we an outreach center? Like I didn't even want to put the name church on us because that name has been drugged through the mud. And it carries a lot of hurt with it for some people. And God dropped into my heart. He said, don't abandon her because she's broken. Okay, God, it's my job to bring restoration to her. I am her. So for every person that says I don't like people or I don't like going to church because I don't like the people there, dude, I got news for you. You is one. You are one. So every time somebody speaks against the church or that comes out of your mouth, you are one. You're speaking, you're attacking your own body. Every time we speak a word against a member of our own body, we are causing autoimmune disease in the church. It's not my job to determine what the body should look like. Yeah, I am going to say it. God, give me the words, give me the words, give me the words. Could it be that the church opened a door through amputating parts of its own body because we didn't like them or we didn't like the way they looked? Could it be that the church opened the door to the world mutilating their body because we mutilated the body of Christ? Do you get what I'm saying? Everything that happens in the natural is established in the spirit first. Happens in the spirit first. Carly knows what I'm saying. Did the church open a door spiritually when we began attacking our own and cutting off parts of our own body? That the church opened the door to what is now happening in the world, where the world is cutting off parts of its body. Do you see where I'm going? everything in the natural is established in the spirit first. And the church is a leader of culture, whether we realize it or not. We lead culture. So here's what I felt like we were supposed to do, is that if there is anybody here, so I looked up just a few things that go along with autoimmune, arthritis, lupus, celiac, type 1 diabetes, psoriasis, and vasculitis. There's like a whole huge list. I'm going to ask the prayer team, if you guys would come up here right now, Greg and Tracy, I want the prayer team to come to this side of the stage. Can you go ahead and take this away? So here's what I want to do is, go ahead and just go over there. Thank you so much. If you have, and you know, when I say this, you're going to know right away. If you have rebelled against love, if you've been hurt, if there is any unforgiveness, if there is any bitterness, if you are experiencing any form of autoimmune disease in your body, or you feel like your body is trying, your physical body is being affected by what is going on in your spirit, in your soul, that if there is any hardness of heart, if you're holding something against somebody, it needs to be let go of today. And I asked the prayer team to come up here, because if you have, like, you've tried, you're like, I tried to forgive that person and they just keep being a butt. Yeah. And it's like, every time I forgive them, then they turn around and they do something else to me. And your heart just keeps getting pounded and pounded, but you are trying so hard to love and you keep getting slapped in the face, or you've tried to lay down the hurt from things that happened to you when you were a kid. You've tried to lay it down, but you don't know how, or you keep trying and it keeps coming back up. I want you to come right now, and the prayer team is here to pray for you. If you want to come and just, you just need a moment with God, and you just need to talk to God about it, I want this side of the stage to be for you. But here's what I felt. I'm going to give this to the prayer team. This is oil. The Bible says that the anointing oil destroys the yoke of bondage. So when you come up, I'm just going to put this on the stage over here. If you want to anoint yourself with oil, do like that. You never anointed yourself. Do like that and put it on you, wherever, on your heart, on your head, on your mind, on your thoughts, wherever you need that. If you have pain or stiffness in your body, if there's something going on in your body, then anoint that part of your body. And I just want to give, we're going to give just a few moments here. If you're in your seat, and you know you need to receive that right now, you know that you need to take care of some love things right now, if love is hard for you, take care of it right now. If you want the prayer team to pray for you, come right here and they'll pray for you. If you just want, just you and God need to handle this, then come over here. And if you're sitting in your seat and everything is good with you, I'm going to ask you to extend your hands to the people up front. Extend your hands. You are the body right now, and you are extending and releasing the gifts, the supernatural gift of love and power and Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. Release that to your body right now. This is your body. Thank you, Father. If while you're sitting here or listening online, if there is any question at all for you, have I given my life to God? And not just saying flippantly, or, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. My grandma went to church. You know what? There's no grandkids in the kingdom of God. There's kids. It's God's kids. And so if you haven't made that personal choice for yourself, then this is your opportunity. This is your invitation to make that choice and to say, I choose. You know, when Jesus went to his disciples, he didn't say, come to the front, everyone bow your head and close your eyes and pray an Elizabethan prayer. He just simply said, come and follow me. He didn't tell them, here's where we're going, this is what it's going to look like. He said, come follow me. They went on an adventure. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, the invitation he's giving you right now, come and follow me. this is your invitation to say yes to him right now. And if you've never solidified that, like you know that you know, I said yes to Jesus and I belong to him. I am a child of God because I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And when he said, come and follow me, I'm saying yes. And so if you're doing that for the very first time this morning, I want you to stick your hand up really high. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Anyone else? So if you raise your hand this morning, that you're saying yes to Jesus for the very first time, something amazing just happened and all of heaven is celebrating you right now. So I just want you to take a minute and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And now the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. And something amazing happened. You begin a whole new adventure, a whole new life with God. And now you get to discover all of the treasure that's on the inside of you. And it's amazing. It's awesome. So congratulations. All of heaven is rejoicing. So can we rejoice with that? Yeah. So I want ministry to continue. Brittany is going to close us out, but here's what I want to ask. Brittany's just got a couple of things to say. If you want to stay and continue to pray for your body, I really encourage you to do that. If you want to get your kids and bring your kids in to just sit and stretch their hands out, maybe your kids want prayer. Maybe your kids might want to pray for people. We would totally encourage that. Take them and ask them, is God putting a finger on anybody or is God shining a light on someone that you would like to just go and stand and stretch your hands out towards them and pray for them? We really, really encourage that. So what I am going to ask is that we leave the auditorium for ministry and we just keep this environment the way that it is. We want you to visit and we want you to love on each other, but if you would take your conversations out into the hospitality area. So I'm going to turn it over to Brittany. And if you do want to come up, it's not too late. And if you're sitting there and you feel like your guts are going to explode through your belly button, that's probably because God is saying, just go to the front. And sometimes you don't even really know why, but it's just him saying, will you just do it if I ask you to? Will you just say yes? And that's all it is he just wants your yes. And then if you come to the front, God will give you the next thing. Okay? So it's open to you. Don't feel any pressure, but it's open to you.